Those of you who maybe have a little trouble putting on a mask, I think there's the one next slide. It's on there. There we go. So, kind of wrestling with this whole mask rule thing, a good German Shepherd friend of mine shows you how it's done and how it's not done. So, just so you're aware of that, you know, it's not on your head. It kind of looks kind of cute, like a little party hat. Don't wear it like a party hat. You know, down here, it kind of looks like a turtleneck, right? Up here, it kind of looks like a cone head. Well, I guess I'm dating myself a little bit, that movie Coneheads. Anyone ever seen that? Anyway, and then, yeah, it kind of goes around there. And even on a German Shepherd, it's, I don't know, you can bend that little part in the middle, and it's, yeah, might work, might not. So anyway, fun times. There was a group of eminent scientists who came together, and they thought they had it all together and decided that man had come a long way and they didn't need God anymore. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with him, that he was finished. And so these scientists, they went along, and one was picked, and he went and talked to God. And he said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people, do many awesome scientific things, and you're kind of obsolete. You're done. Why don't you just retire? God listened to this complaint very patiently and said, very well, but before I, you know, hang it up, so to speak, God said, let's have a man-making contest. To which the scientist replied, great. But God added, now we're going to do it the way I did it. The old-fashioned way, back with some dirt. Scientist said, sure, no problem. Bent down to start grabbing some dirt, and God said, you get your own dirt. So often we want to do things our own way, don't we? And this is the message to Laodicea, and it's the message to us today. Don't do it your own way. Don't lean on your own understanding. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, even in the midst of this pandemic that we are in, that's, as has been said so many times, we're not in control, but we know you are. And I release control back to you. It's all about you, all about your glory, all about what you want to do in and through us in these days. And we just thank you that you are in control and that you are speaking and your word speaks. So may your word speak today to our hearts, to our lives. It is an ancient testimony, but may it change our present trajectory, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, tablets, phones, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, we're in the last church, in the seven churches of Revelation. And I think of all the churches, the message to this church, they all apply to us. But I think there's a special application to us in our modern day church today, through the book and through the letter to Laodicea. Always important, historical background. historical background to this church. Laodicea was a very wealthy city, had great industry. Came to special wools, especially black wool. Black wool was a very important product in Laodicea. Laodicea had many banks, and they had a medical school, which actually produced a special ointment called Phrygian powder. It was actually used to cure eye defects and sometimes ear defects as well. Laodicea itself as a city was not established for its natural resources. It was established as a trade route city so that people could come in and through the city of Laodicea. And for that reason, they had to bring in natural resources. The city of Hierapolis, which is approximately 6 to 7 miles away, had a wonderful hot spring. And you could go there, kind of like Radium, something like that, right? Banff. And you could soak in the wonderful waters of Hierapolis and be healed of skin diseases and just have a wonderful, relaxing time. But this hot water was piped through an aqueduct from Hierapolis for 6 to 7 miles to Laodicea. And by the time it got there, it was as good as nothing. It was lukewarm. It was basically poisonous if you tried to drink it. And the same was true for another source of water from a place called Densiliae, which had cold water. Densiliae was about approximately, again, 6 to 7 miles away from Laodicea. The water was cold, refreshing at the source, but of course by the time the water was pumped to Laodicea, it was not as refreshing. It was lukewarm. So very interesting, as we think about the historical context of Laodicea and the message that Jesus gives to the Laodicean church, they knew what lukewarm water tasted like. It was gross. We none of us really like lukewarm water. I tell you, there's some times this gets sat in my van and I forget it. Have you ever done that? Set your water bottle in a van? I did that one day when I was shopping and I came out. I'm like, oh, I'm really thirsty. Oh, yuck. Lukewarm water just doesn't satisfy. It's okay. It works, but it's really not the same as what's in here right now, which is nice and cold. That's good water. Good Claire's Home water, I tell you. So the message to the church at Laodicea. There's been messages we've seen all through the other six churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia. Some have been rebukes. Some have been commendations, a little bit of both. Some have been to a persecuted church. Some have been to a compromised church. But it's interesting. The Laodicean church, on the other hand, represents, as the Litany of St. Paul's Cathedral says, from 1878, the Laodicean church, on the other hand, represents an unobtrusive and indefinite temptations of ordinary times and ordinary men. The false security and the easy indifference, the unruffled self-satisfaction of individuals and of churches when they are not roused to a sense of their true condition by any unwanted circumstances. Just satisfied, doing life. And up until March 18th of 2020, I think the church in the world was pretty satisfied. Why do I say March 18th, 2020? Well, that's the day when, well, at least in Alberta, Mr. Kenny came and put the restrictions on, which he didn't want to do. But things changed pretty rapidly, didn't they? I think we were pretty satisfied as a church before then. And then all of a sudden, this, what we have right now, was yanked out from underneath of us. So I think we have a little bit of an idea. Okay, well, maybe we're not as satisfied or as having such a sense of false security as we once were. Jesus is described here, as he is in every other letter to every other church, as the Amen. He has a special description. He's the Amen. He's the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I work with a particular person in our church on my sermons sometimes, and we go through some of my sermons, and I'm trying to eliminate some of my amens. But John, I'm sorry, it says Amen here. So I have to say Amen. He's the Amen. The Amen is so be it. And I think it's very important that this is said here, as it was to all the other six churches, that Jesus is the Sobeit. He is the faithful and true witness and the ruler of God's creation, that he is the Sobeit. He is the Holy One, the true One, the faithful and true witness. Because the words he says to the Laodicean church are tough words to hear. Because the people in the Laodicean church were satisfied with where they were. They're satisfied, they were rich. This is a church when there was a great earthquake and in that area, and the Roman government said, you know what, you can have some money. They said, we don't need your money, Roman government. We got enough money of our own. We're okay. We're satisfied. It's not necessarily a bad thing to have money, but if you worship money, if you worship what is tangible, then we lose focus on who God is in our lives. It's important to note that Jesus does not commend the Laodicean church for its lack of faithfulness. This church needed to take a stand, but it did not. It depended on temporary wealth and prosperity rather than spiritual riches, which Jesus mentions later on. We'll get to shortly. I think Jesus, if he had quoted a couple of the Proverbs, he might have quoted this one. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. The church in Laodicea started well. It had plans, I'm sure. But it gave in to its own understanding and thought that, you know, well, sometimes we can be the same way where we say, you know what, we pray a nice trite prayer at the beginning of a meeting and say, God, bless our efforts. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. Or we, at the end of a meeting, say, you know, this is a great meeting. God, you know, God, give your approval on all we've said. Not necessarily, again, a bad prayer, but we have to be examining our hearts and our motives. And why are we praying these things? Are we just making our own plans and then asking God's stamp of approval on them? Sometimes we can fall into that category. Proverbs 16:9 is a good focus. It says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The people of Laodicea were the ones often sitting in the throne of their own lives. We need to give the throne over to Jesus. They had the wrong view of themselves, maybe much like this young boy. Young boy was playing baseball by himself. He threw the ball up and said, you know, I am the best hitter there ever was and ever is going to be. So he threw the ball up. Whew, strike one. He said, no, I am the best hitter there ever was. He threw the ball up. Whew, oh, no, I'm still the best hitter. I know I am. I know. Threw the ball up again. He said, I'm just going to pound this thing. Whew, on the ground. Thought for a second. Kind of discouraged. It's like, gosh darn it, I'm the best pitcher there ever was. Sometimes we can be like this little boy, and it's good to kind of have an interesting perspective on yourself, but that we can take ourselves too seriously. It's good to have dreams. It's good to think outside and to be thinking big, having big ideas and big dreams, but sometimes we can take ourselves too seriously, have the wrong view of ourselves. That we think we're really, really something when we're really not. And this is the essence, if we could put it in a statement, this is the essence of the message to the Laodicean church. They thought they were something when they really were not. They determined themselves by their wealth, by their intelligence, by everything else, by their industry. Sounds like capitalism. Oh, did I say that out loud? Anyway, not that that's necessarily bad. But when we focus on that, when it's the center of everything that we do and it channels every single thing we do, we have to be very careful where we are. We could be on shaky ground, spiritually at least. Oswald Chambers states, there are times when you cannot understand why you cannot do what you want to do. When God brings the blank space, see that you do not fill it in, but wait. The problem with the Laodicean church is they filled it in too many times with their own ideas, with their own thoughts. And we can do the same thing. We need to wait on the Lord. And I think, if anything, that this time of COVID has taught us is to wait on the Lord, to hear from him. Be still and know that I am God, that we aren't in control. We need to wait on him. We want to fill in that blank space with everything else but God. I once heard an interesting acronym some years back. Oftentimes when we would ask, and we still do it today, I find myself doing it at times. How was your week? How was your day? What did you do today? Oh, I was so busy. And the acronym for busy, one pastor once said, was being under Satan's yoke. Oh, I didn't really like that too much when I first heard that. That kind of went, being under Satan's yoke. Not saying that all of our busyness is planned or prompted by Satan, but sometimes we have to be aware that if we're just busy for busyness' sake, then we have to be aware of our motives in everything that we do. Oftentimes, we're only as busy as we make ourselves. Sometimes we use busy as a badge of honor, and people can say, I've heard them say it. I've heard pastors say it. God forbid. I haven't had a vacation in 5 years. So what? Is that a badge of honor? Should be a badge of disgrace in my books. Come on. Like, a vacation isn't showing weakness, right? We need to prioritize and see how we evaluate success and what a true successful life is. The people in Laodicea, they saw it as industry, as being rich, was being successful and being faithful. Jesus saw it a different way. You know, as we move forward, being on top of the corporate world can be pretty lonely. Just ask people like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs when he was still alive. Do we believe that all monetary and material things are blessings from God? I think that a lot of them are. We work for them. A good work ethic is a good thing to have. We need to have a good work ethic. We need to be focused on what God is doing in our lives, and he'll give us the strength. He gives us the gifts and talents and abilities to be able to create wealth. The Bible even says that. But we have to have a balanced approach to this. We can't say, and even the Old Testament, Moses warned the Israelites that you are inheriting a land that you did not work, that you did not plant, that you did not build houses, and you're inheriting all this land. But don't say down the road that, well, you know, all our hands did this, all of us did this, and forget your God. But they did, didn't they? And we can do the same thing. Jesus here presents himself as a bit of a salesman, kind of a different perspective on Jesus. And I think it would have related well to the Laodiceans. I'm going to call it the Jesus market, so to speak. So what is this refined gold and these white garments, this eye salve? Well, first of all, refined gold is gold without impurities. And the gold Jesus is speaking about here is a faith that has gone through testing and willing to still go through testing. We read that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. There's one other passage that talks about our faith being refined as well. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." So what are we building on? Right? What are we building on? Are we building on things that are worthwhile, things that are of quality, spiritually, refined gold? Jesus says to them in verse 17, "You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." That was quite the stinging rebuke for those in the Laodicean church, because they thought they had it all under control. They thought they knew it all. They owned it all. They didn't need help from Rome, and it looked like they didn't need help from God either. So he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. So that is, refined gold is the impurities are taken out. The impurities of the gold are taken out, and it's pure. Pure gold. They would have known what that is. White garments, white clothes. Again, a lot of this is seen all throughout the different churches. The same message, white garments. I'll put on you a white garment. That white garment was seen in those days as something you would wear during your baptismal service or your mikvah as a Jew. Seen as purity. And it was in quite the contrast to the black garments of wool that the Laodicean church was famous for. Black and white. Can also relate back to the prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 64:6, a very familiar passage, that our righteousness itself is like filthy rags. But Jesus offers us white clothes to wear. All the things that Jesus is asking of the Laodicean church are the things that they produced. See the contrast? The things they produced, the black wool, the gold, the banks, the eye salve, all the things they were famous for, Jesus turns it into not a physical thing, but a spiritual thing. He says, come and buy from me. He wants them to find true riches, not in the things of this world, but in the things of the Spirit. Come and buy. The eye salve he talks about is not the eye salve of the medical school, as good as that would have been, I'm sure, at that time, that Phrygian powder. Jesus says, put on eye salve so you can truly see. Truly see. Harkens back to a lot of the conversations of Jesus giving sight to the blind in the Gospels, doesn't it? And the Pharisees realizing that they were spiritually blind, where these people were physically blind. This week I was, my girls like to watch some YouTube videos once in a while. And we've happened upon an old favorite of mine from DC Talk days, Toby Mack. Maybe you have no idea who I'm talking about, but that's okay. And there's some good songs by Toby Mack, some good ones. This past week there's a video, and it was very poignant. It's called Everything. And the lyrics caught my attention in light of this message to the church in Laodicea about opening your eyes. Toby is walking through this video in a downtown inner city slum, and he's singing, of course, and he's got these kind of funky glasses on, and as he looks at different people, he sees a couple that are fighting with each other on the corner. And then he puts these glasses on, and they go from fighting to dancing. He sees this girl all alone in an alleyway, about Rachel's age. And she's kind of looking forlorn and all alone. Puts the glasses on, and he doesn't see a little girl, but he sees a lion. He walks by an elderly lady who looks like she's just about to give up on life. She's depressed, down, puts the glasses on, and sees a huge big smile come across her face. These are some of the lyrics. I see you in everything all day, and every beat of my heart keeps reminding me. I see you in every little thing all day. No matter where I go, I know your love is finding me. I see you in everything. You're all up in everything. My soul's awake. I'm taken by all the beauty you bring. You got it blaring, and I'm staring. Love watching you do your thing. There's no mistaking your style, no mistaking your touch. I see the grand, I see the subtleness of your love. Wow. That's the eye salve that Jesus is talking about here. Seeing God's potential in everything. Not and seeing it in each person, looking beyond the outward appearance, looking beyond what even within our ideals of success and our ideals of measuring life, that Jesus asks us to put those glasses on, the eye salve on our eyes that not just heals us from physical problems, but it heals our, well, he wants us to see with the eyes of our heart the potential, the God-centered potential in every life. I believe Jesus saw with these eyes when he cleared the temple. He cleared the temple twice, and he said, you've turned this place of worship, this place of prayer, into a den of thieves. You know what? Those people were supposed to be there in the temple, but they were exorbitantly marking up the cost of buying animals. Jesus said, no, you need to see with different eyes. It's not about profit. It's about purpose. Why are you here? And I think through this time of COVID, we've had a chance, I hope most of us have, to think of why we're here. Why are we the church? Why do we exist as the body of believers? Have the eyes of our hearts been opened during this time? He goes on, verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. This sounds like an old-time gospel preacher. Those old tent revivals. Repent, repent, right? Well, it's a good thing, you know, and even though he doesn't commend them for anything, he says, you know what? I'm not going to spit you out of my mouth yet. You still got a chance. There's still that grace. There's still that chance to ask for forgiveness, to turn around, to have your eyes see, to realize that you are naked, poor, blind, and wretched, and to turn around and to have that perspective again. You know, no one really likes disciplining. I'm not, as a dad, not a big fan of disciplining, but discipline is part of loving. It's an essential part of loving our kids well. And our heavenly daddy loves to love us well. And maybe, I'm just putting it out there, maybe this time that we've just gone through and are continuing through is a form of discipline to show us what truly matters so that we don't continue to give in to this sense of self-confidence or apathy. Hot or cold, not lukewarm. Hot heals, cold refreshes. Both are good. We need to be that to our world today. Be hot. Know where we stand. Be cold to those who are out there. And bring out the potential in each and every person we see. And that's the glasses that Toby Mac was wearing in that video. It's seeing with those eyes and being that potential to bring an effective purpose to that little girl, to that senior, to that couple that's arguing and fighting. Healing and hope. Healing and refreshing. Not just, well, I don't know if I really want to go and talk to that couple, or I don't know if I really, you know, that little girl, she's really annoying in my Sunday school class because all she does is talk and she never listens. You ever had that? Sometimes those are the very people that are leaders and will be potential leaders in the future. But if we dismiss them and don't see the lion that's inside of them that's a leader, then we may miss the whole opportunity to see God's potential realized in them. Putting on those glasses. Seeing the healing that needs to be brought, that healing of focused energy and leadership potential. Bringing healing to a broken relationship so they can dance instead of fight. So we need to discipline. Discipline brings out that healing. Discipline brings out the refreshing and the refocused. And a very familiar verse to all of us. Verse 20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus stands here and knocks. Sometimes I think in a lot of ways as Christians we've allowed Jesus to be just the tenant in our life instead of the landlord. Just the tenant instead of the landlord. Think about that for a minute. That he doesn't have complete control. We may have, yes, invited him into our hearts and lives at one point, but he's kind of just there on the sidelines, or he has control of some areas, but not, he doesn't have control, or he isn't able or allowed, we haven't allowed him to open all the doors of our heart. Every area needs to be open to him, to his control. It goes back to the title that he gives to himself regarding the Laodicean church. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Do you know that the letter to the church at Colossae was also a letter to the church at Laodicea? You know the letter to the church at Colossae was also a letter to the church at Laodicea? And when he says that he's the ruler of all God's creation, let's go back. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He's the creator. In him all things hold together. What a message. That message would have been reiterated in that title that he gave himself to the Laodicean church. It would have been a reminder that the Laodiceans couldn't run their own lives. And neither can we. We need to release control. So are we treating Jesus more like a tenant in our lives than our landlord? Is he more like a tenant or is he our landlord? Does he have complete control? And once again, there are promises. Want to end on a positive note, because this is a pretty negative, it could be seen as a pretty negative letter. We see here, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So he who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Matt talked about Ephesians chapter 2. That we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. A position that we are seated with him. That when a ruler sat, that meant that there was a decision made. When a ruler sat, that meant that there was a decision made. And that our Heavenly Father has given us through Christ, through what Christ has done, a position. And to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me. What a position of authority. What a position of power. To walk out in that way. And that's true power. That's true authority that the Laodicean church knew about earthly authority. They knew about earthly business transactions and how if you had certain amount of money, you had more authority. But Jesus talks about this. To him who overcomes and sees from a different light, I'll give you a place of authority that is far beyond anything you could ever dream and could ever achieve through riches, power, or persuasion. Wow. And just as I overcame, Christ overcame sin and death, and he sat down on his throne. So we, one day, as we overcome, we'll sit down as well. Powerful words of encouragement for us. Powerful words. So how do we overcome the message that is here to the Laodicean church? How do we overcome that? Well, I just want to talk about six words before we close our time here today. First one is reliant. You need to be reliant on Christ. Sorry, these aren't up there. I'm not sure what happened there. That's okay. Or maybe they are. Oh, they are. Look at that. Not for me, but for you guys. Good. This is good. Reliant on Christ. Reliable to Christ. As we put our faith and trust in Him and not in the things around us. Being real. Being real. You know what attracted people to the church in the book of Acts? Was that they were real with each other. They shared everything with each other. They showed a reliance on Christ. They showed a reliableness to one another and to Christ. They were real with each other. Humble goes along in the same context. Having confidence rightly placed. Being hopeful despite what may come at us. And helpful. Walking out with Jesus every day. It's reliant, relatable, or reliable, real, humble, hopeful, and helpful. Lord Jesus, I give you our church today. I ask that you'd help us to see with new eyes, to see what we've been depending on, what we haven't been, Lord. And thank you that you have given us these promises to this church and that you've given these promises to this church in Laodicea. That there was an ancient testimony and that we, through these seven churches and through this last church, can put our faith and trust in you. Lord Jesus, if there is someone who's watching online or someone who is here this morning that saying, you know what, I've depended on everything else but God, everything else but I made a successful business and maybe not. Father, I pray that wherever we are at today, wherever that person may be at, that you just draw them now. Draw them to say, yes, I'm still not feeling purpose-filled. I'm still not feeling that sense of fulfillment in my life. And I want to give my life over to you. And so, if you're feeling that way, I ask you just to simply say, Lord Jesus, I know that I've messed up. I'm a sinner. I missed the mark. And that I want you to come into my life. I want you to be the landlord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my friend. Come, walk with me. Help me to find that purpose and to find true riches, to see with the eyes of my heart, not just with my physical eyes. Help us, Lord. And Father, I pray for those of us here who there may be a door in our lives that we've just said, Jesus, no way, keep out. I don't want you to go there today. I pray for each and every one of us, if there's a door in our minds or hearts that are just that needs to be opened, that we need to release and give you landlord status of that part of our property, that we would do that today. We would say, have your way, Lord Jesus, in that part of my heart, that part of my life. I give you complete and utter control. And that as we do, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you promise to help us overcome. You help us to be reliant, reliable, real, humble, hopeful, and helpful. We commit all these things to you now, and we just give you thanks for this chance to be together and look at your word. May it guide us each and every day, empower us. In Jesus' name, amen.